Blog Talk Radio.
Hold on.
Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, Blog Talk listeners. Thank you for joining in to my sister, my friend. Praises be to God for another opportunity to come to you live on Blog Talk Radio. You are listening to my sister, my friend, a Blog Talk show that is dedicated to reaching all women. We want to be an encouragement and uplifting and be here with resources for our sisters' needs and their concerns. Thank you for joining us tonight. Tonight we have a special guest that our president, Ms. Beverly, will be introducing. And thank you again for joining us once again on a Monday night. And for those that are listening, you can dial 310-982-4126 and have your friends. And you can go to blogtalkradio.com/Granny's Place and listen in on your computer. Tell all your friends. So, Beverly, go ahead.
Good evening. Good evening, Blog Talk listeners. We have with us this evening Ms. Tori Lynn. She is an author, and we'd like to find out a little bit more about Ms. Lynn. Ms. Lynn, would you say hello?
Hello. How are you?
Oh, we're blessed. We're blessed. Give us a little bit of information about you, what your, you know, about your business and your writing your books. Tell us a little bit more about what you do.
Well, I am Tori Lynn. I am a speaker and an author of a book titled The Divorce. And The Divorce is an autobiography about what I went through in my divorce. And I just kind of just wanted people to understand what goes on the inside and on the outside, and the ins and outs and everything that has to do with a divorce.
You said it's a little bit about your own personal experience?
Yes,
Okay, so is this book aimed at anyone, or is it just aimed at women?
It's anyone. As a matter of fact, like, I'm not calling men nosy, but I was really shocked at the amount of men that bought the book. I was really shocked at the support from the men. And at the time, while I was kind of going through it, I was kind of blogging and you know, just kind of leaving different little messages and what have you. And I was shocked at the amount of men that was inboxing me or chiming in on, you know, on the whole thing. And they would ask questions and stuff like that. And I was just like, wow, I was amazed. So, yeah, it's beneficial for men and women.
That's really unusual for men to chime in on something like
right.
that. Usually. Yeah, they usually kind of remain in the background and don't really want to discuss those issues.
Right.
Go into a little bit more about your book. Tell us a little bit more about the book so we can talk to our audience, since maybe there's someone out there that's listening that needs some help going through their divorce.
Okay. Well, just if there are people that want to see maybe a cover of the book or who I am and what I do, they can go to www.authortorilynn.com and or if they're on Facebook, they can go to the Author Tori Lynn like page. So in my book, I just talk about what it's like when you're going through a divorce. It's not the easiest thing to go through, because a lot of times when people go into the divorce, we were so conditioned to, for the happily ever after that we're going to have that fairy tale ending. And sometimes we're not really prepared for the ins and outs, the ups and downs and the stuff like that. So the thing that I did was I wrote about what happens during the divorce. We can really kind of play hard and we can really put up this really good front. But I was dying inside. I wanted my husband back, even though I knew the situation was not healthy anymore. I knew it was not healthy anymore. But yet, I was trying to figure out a way to keep the marriage together. And, you know, because my mind just could not figure it out. I had children with him. And some kind of way, we got to make this work. And it just didn't. And it took me a minute to figure that, to go through and go ahead and file for divorce. And that's what I wanted to go and write to the readers about, or to the person about that might be going through this, is that I know what you're going through when you're secretly crying at night and in the daytime, because this divorce has gotten so ugly that you're still like, God, please save this, or, you know, God, you got to do something. We are a family, and I'm trying to understand this, and we just had another baby. You know, when you're going through all the emotions and you're still fighting in public and you're crying at night, and I'm letting the reader know I'm with you. I know what you're going through.
When you said that you wanted to kind of keep, you wanted to keep the marriage, was it for the children, or was it because you really loved your husband and you wanted to try and make it work?
I come from a line of divorces. My mother's been married and divorced 3 times. My grandmother's been married and divorced 2 times. You know, I pretty much, I don't know. Let's just put the shoe on the other foot and see how many people I know that's been married and stayed married and been successfully married. And that's really sad. So I was just really kind of determined that I was going to be the one that was going to stay married. And that's just how it happened. So I loved him. It probably was not a healthy love, because it was not a healthy marriage to begin with. I married my ex-husband out of his mother's home. He was not stable when I married him. So, and that was a whole other issue. Like right now, my mom and I, we go around and we speak to other mothers and daughters, because in my marriage, my marriage almost tore my mom and my relationship apart, because she was trying to save me from what she saw was coming, because my husband was unstable, because he was not financially, spiritually, or, you know, he was just not stable, period. And so she was trying to save me, but she was so combative. And so the thing she was trying to save me from, she actually ended up pushing me to. And that's what now we go and try to talk to other mothers and daughters about, because yes, mommy is right, but at the same time, we have to have a balance, and we have to do things in love, especially as Christians.
It seems like that your mom seems like she got a little bit too involved in your marriage, trying
to
save.
It was right, because yeah. See, that's even what I wrote about in the book. Because my mom was like, when she read the book, she was like in shock, like, you know, she was like really, really hurt. And I told her, she said, why didn't you discuss this with me before you? I said, Mom, I have been trying to discuss this with you. I've been, you know, even in the marriage, I was trying to reach out to you, and you were so angry with me for going down the path that she went down, basically. And she was trying to save, my mom got emotionally involved. She was trying to save me from going through the heartaches that she saw coming. But at the same time, we have to do things in love, because if he looks like he loves me, and you say you love me, but I'm getting so much combat on this end, and I'm getting so much love on this end, you know, I really couldn't tell the difference. So I went to the part that looked like love.
One thing that when you said that when you married him, when he wasn't stable, what attracted you to him? Because if he wasn't stable and he was living with his mom, what attracted you to him?
Well, that's what's in the book. I can't tell you that part. That's the juice.
So what's the title? The title of the book is The Divorce?
Yes, the title of the book is, now I can give you this little snippet here, is that having sex before marriage can get really cloudy. It can really cloud your judgment. And I can say that played a very good part in it.
Yeah, because, you know, sometimes the feelings that you have when you're sexually involved with someone, we get them sometimes, particularly women, we get them confused. Mm-hmm. We think that I feel this way about him, this must be love. and it's so far from love, but we don't really see it. I guess that's one of the reasons why it's so bad for women to become so involved with a man before she's married to him, because we kind of put our emotions out there, and they're not putting their emotions out there, but we are, and we're thinking that this feeling is that feeling, and it's totally different.
Well, let me tell you what's funny is that I did know it. Like, afterwards, I was like, okay, you know, he's not the one. And this is afterwards. And it wasn't like it was, you know, the FTX was bad. You know, there's children in the other room. But it wasn't even like it was bad. It was just like, okay, no. You know, and it was just like, okay. And after that was over with. But, you know, like I said, I was really in a lot of combat with my mom. And my mom and I are like best friends. I mean, that's my heart. But at the time, she was like, no, this is not the one. He's not, you know, good for you. You're going to lose everything. And, you know, but it was like every day. And like I talked about it in the book. I really was really transparent in the book. So much so that, like I said, my mom was like, Tori, I can't believe you did all that, you know. But it was, but like I said, it was no shock. It was no shock that to my mom, like, you know, yeah, I saw this coming. You know, but at the same time, it was just, so hungry for love. It was just such a need and such a hunger for what love is and for what love looked like. You know, if I didn't have that right model, or if I wasn't in my rightful place spiritually, then that's what love looked like, you know, and so it was easy to fall for that.
I think sometimes, would you think that when you were thinking about it and you're preparing the book, did you get love confused with companionship? Were you looking for companionship, or were you looking for the love and the companionship?
I think I was looking for the both of them. And even when I wrote talks about it in a book, I mean, he was my best friend. We had a great time together. He was a lot of fun. And we did everything together. It was just like he couldn't live without me. I couldn't live without him. I wasn't going anywhere without him. He wasn't going anywhere without me. It was just that. And it was just so much fun. So that was a lot of fun to have someone that's your best friend that you hang out with also. We would have cooking contests and so, you know, so it was just a lot of fun. And I enjoyed that. I wanted to be around it a lot more.
I think, yeah, we get confused with our friends being friends and being husbands, because some are good at being great friends, but they're not good husband material.
Right.
In your book, do you tell about the recovery time from after you realized that you really were going to do this divorce? And then when you actually filed, how did you feel once you really file the papers and realize that you're going to really go through this? What do you tell the readers in your book about that experience? When you're going
to
actually...
It just took me a minute to go ahead and file for the divorce. I was so hurt because I didn't want to go through with it. I did not want to go through with it because you just have to know, like, this has gotten to work. Like, I'm the very first person in my family to graduate from college. So I just thought that, okay, this is something that could be that can happen again. You know, this is something like I'll break the chain on this one too. I'll break that generational curse on this one too. And like I said, I came from a line of divorces. So I just thought that, we're going to make this work. We have to make this work. We have to stop the generational curse on both sides.
What would your advice be, or what, in your book, what was your advice to women that married a man that they thought was their best friend, but they realized that he really wasn't probably ready for marriage? What would you tell your readers about that type of situation when women get into those situations? How do they handle those situations for you?
One thing about marriage, I realize that marriage is for mature people, period. It's you know, that's, I think that's the reason why so many people are getting divorced, because people are just like, oh, we grew apart, or I don't like him, and no one is really preparing us for those curves that hit, you know, because every day is not going to be sunshine, every day is not going to be I love you, every day is not going to be that, and we're just not prepared. And when we're not prepared, that's when we do the immature thing, I'm not your friend no more stuff. You know, I want to be your friend no more. And that's just immaturity, but that's what happens.
Yeah.
I would like to ask you a question. Corey, I would like to ask you a question. Did you not have premarital counseling?
Yes, I did. But one thing about me and the women in my family, when your mind is already made up, there's nothing that anyone can tell you, because I already thought I was in love. So, yes, we went over the marital counseling and it was okay. You know, I still love my pastor who married us. I still love him, and I still think the world of him. But at the same time, I knew going in that he was unstable. There was just nothing that I actually thought, like, because, you know, you hear testimonies all the time of people that, oh, I married my husband, he didn't have anything, we got together and blank. Or, you know, you hear testimonies all the time where the people hooked up and it worked out for them. It didn't work out for me.
So you went
into
this marriage. You went into the marriage thinking that you were going to be able to change his dysfunction, and because
sure
you already
did.
Knew.
I sure did think I had that type of power to change a man.
Okay. And you didn't know that you can't change another
you
human being
on yourself,
right?
You can't change no one, right?
Nobody, okay?
That was a rude
let me
awakening.
Ask you this. I'm going to ask you, did you, when you came to the conclusion that this is just not going to work, I'm not going to do this any further, how did you heal yourself? Did you go to counseling? Did you go to your mom, or did you go to some other female that was your mentor, or what? How did you get through this?
How did I get through it? I'm not going to say that it was easy. I cannot say that it was easy. That was one of the hardest things I have ever been through. Going through a divorce, and not only when you divorce, there's a lot more people involved than only you two.
Yes, ma'am.
Divorces affect everybody.
Everybody. Yeah.
And it's just... And that was something that I just was like, when it got really bad like that, and then, you know, then you got his family, and then my family, and then my mom, and his mom, and then our moms got into it, and then his dad's side, and stepmom, and you know, it was a ball of confusion. I have this vision in my head. It's like that you got this little ball, and you got all these like strikes just coming out of this little ball, and that's just what it was. It was like a cloud, and you got storms all in this one cloud, like this one cloud. And that's how bad it was, and that's how it just, even with the police involved, it was just terrible. And it was just going through and then my babies were small. They weren't big kids. They were babies, and we were going through this. My babies were one, and when I filed for divorce, my baby was 4 months old, and the other one was 13 months old. So they were very small, and I'm going through this, and I still had to maintain both houses. I still had to maintain my truck note. I still had to maintain my credit. I mean, everything, and I was holding everything on my shoulders, and it was just too much. It was too much.
Well, who did you turn to? Who helped
you through?
I kind of
imploded. You know, I went to postpartum depression.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what it is. I'm going to have to remember some of it. I did go through postpartum depression. Yes. And it wasn't, I went through postpartum depression, and that's a bad thing to do while you're when you have small kids.
Okay, yeah. Well, let me ask you about your spirituality then. Did you ever consider talking to God or talking to your pastor about it? I'm reaching for to see if
I knew you were reaching for that, and I was purposely not giving it to you because I wasn't there anymore. Because the last thing I did when I was 2 months pregnant, and this is in a book, the last thing I did was 2 months pregnant. Something happened, and I stopped going to church altogether. And there was something that happened from church.
Well,
and so when you get that type of – when you get something like that that happens to you and you're going to church because you want to get help and then you're turned away like that, I stopped going to church altogether.
Okay. Have you returned?
Oh, yeah. And then I talk about what happened when I returned to church.
Okay.
We were married a year and a half. We were married in the same house for a year and a half. And all of that
so
went
how
down
long did y'all, how long were you friends before you got married?
6 months.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that kind of reads a lot of things is why things didn't go well. Let me ask you, what was your husband doing when you guys, did you just announce to him that you were going to divorce or did you guys sit down and talk about it?
No, we didn't sit down and talk about it. My ex-husband left when I was 2 months pregnant with our second baby, and my mom was having a brain tumor surgery. When I came home, he was gone.
Oh, my.
Yeah, we had a seven-month-old baby. We had a seven-month-old. I was 2 months pregnant, and my mom was having brain surgery. And when I came home, he was gone.
Can I ask you a question? Let me ask you, this is coming. I want to ask you, I don't know if you got it in the book, or do you detail your personality as like, were you dominating, were you passive, was that some of the reasons why that the marriage didn't work, or was it just because he was dysfunctional?
I'm going to put the blame on the both of us because I more blame me than I blame him because I knew going in that he was not stable. I did not go in blindsided. Now, thinking I can help a man, a grown man, that was my fault. So I really can't blame him for what happened. I can't put the blame on him. That was all me. That went in thinking that I could change a man, and that was something that I did not have the power to do.
Okay, well, let me ask you one more question. I'm going to give it back to Beth. Your past, your generations, you said that your parents didn't stay married, and you come from a family of people who don't stay married. You went into this thinking that you were going to break that generational curse. Did you have the same patterns that your people before that didn't stay married? Did you have those same patterns? I'm just going to be one blame. Your mother go into her marriage and say she could change somebody?
All the women in my family are very dominant. So it's kind of easy to run over men that's not in their rightful position.
Right.
So if a man is not in his rightful place, then it's easy to run over him, and then it's like, where's the respect after that?
Okay. And so that's where you were. I'm looking at it to see that's where you were with that situation. Hey, I'm going to dominate this, and if he can't come up to standard, I'm going to make him come up to standard because this is what I've observed through my parents and my parents and my grandmother and my mother's domination, right?
No, that's not how I went in.
Okay, all right. Well, then, but you did want to change him, right?
Yeah, I wanted to change him, but it wasn't my thing to dominate him.
Okay, all right. I'm just questioning you, no problem.
No, I'm just saying, no,
hope you don't get offended.
Okay. No, I'm not offended. I'm saying no, that wasn't my plan to dominate him, but okay. It was my plan to change his situation and to make him be a man, yes, but not to take over him, no.
Well, the reason why I asked you is I have came through the same. My mother, she didn't stay married. My aunt stayed married for 27 years, but she was the dominant force in her marriage. And what happened is that he misused and abused and treated her and talked to her bad, and it was mental and physical abuse with that. But all the time she thought she was dominating and changing. And I saw all this coming up. And my mama say, if he can't do what I want him to do, he ain't worth it and he ain't no good, so I'm not going to respect that. But I went in, I said I was going to break the generational curse also, but I took a different approach. I took it to Christ and let him, it wasn't easy. I've been married for like almost, we've been married, this is on our second go-round, but we've been together 40-some years, going on 41 years. But the thing about it was, it wasn't easy. I tried to dominate. I was going to wear the pants and you just follow my lead, and he wasn't having it.
You see, that's the thing that I don't want to wear the pants. That's just because I've seen that all my life.
I've seen it all my life,
so I don't really want to wear the pants.
Okay. You might not want it to, but if there was a fact of your independence. Okay, and that was me. I was an independent. You gonna come along with me, and we gonna do this together. But I'm gonna dominate this. Okay, and you know sometimes we can do that because of where we are and what we've been through. Okay,
okay.
Not knowing that we don't give the man the chance to be the man. Okay, because I've had some situations, I know some people that had good men. They were friends before they got married. But when they got into the marriage, well, the female was so used to being independent and doing things the way she wanted to do, she couldn't let him be the man, and then that changed the situation. That changed him from wanting to be who he was and be the man, and then things didn't work out, and they stayed, you know, they didn't stay married long either with it in that situation. So that's what I was just talking about. I was just looking at, because we can be dominating yet still want to be married. But because of our independence, we kind of step ahead and be the head instead of letting the man be the head. You know, it's not something we say we don't want to do it, but if he don't take charge, we go ahead and do it anyway, you know? If he's just a little slow in doing it, you know? And that can cause friction and problem. But, Beverly, I'm sorry, I have a call on the line. Call on the line, would you like to have a comment or ask our guest tonight a question? Miss Corey Lynn, she's wrote a book about divorce. Corey, tell us the name of the book again.
The Divorce.
The Divorce.
Okay. Carla, would you like to ask her a question? Okay, I guess she's not going to ask you no question tonight. Okay.
And it's Tori with a T.
T. Oh,
Tori.
You know what? Beverly done changed your name.
You've been calling you Corey.
Beverly done changed your name. She told me
it's
Corey.
I told you Tori.
Okay.
But, Tori, let me ask you something. How old were you when you got married to this gentleman?
28.
You were 28? Okay.
Uh-huh.
I think sometimes when we get into marriages, and you had talked about your mother and your grandmother, I think a lot of probably what impacted your marriage was things that you saw that your mother and your grandmother have went through. And I don't think you did it on purpose, or you, like you said, you went into it thinking that you were going to change him. And when we see our mothers or our aunts or whatever, and we see them as strong women, and we often get that same idea that we can go in and we're going to change him and we're going to make him be the man that he should be. And it's only because we've seen other women be the strong, dominant one in the house. And we think that we can be so strong and dominant that we can make this man be all that he can be. When did he realize in the marriage that it wasn't working for him either? Did he ever say?
No, he never said.
Okay. Yeah, but it was something about his actions that probably let you know that he wasn't going to even try to work the marriage out.
We had a lot of external influences also. We had a very, both of us had very dominant moms. Both of us have very dominant moms. So one of those times he said, hey, look, you know, my mom said if me and you get back together that she's not going to have anything else to do with me. So, I mean, I'm saying that's just, we had a lot of fights that that was outside of us, outside of our love for each other.
Oh, okay.
Was he only child and you were only child?
No, both of us have brothers and sisters.
But y'all had siblings, okay.
But the mother's influence in the marriage was so strong in the marriage that they really didn't have a chance at succeeding in that marriage when you've got two dominant moms. It's kind of hard to make a marriage a success unless you kind of put them at a distance out of your relationships. So it's kind of hard when you've got dominant moms speaking into both of your ears all the time. And trying to tell you what to do and how to work your own marriage out. I can see that being very hard to do.
Tori, did you ever ask your mom out of your relationship? Tell her she could be mom, but she had to let you work out your own relationship?
No, I asked her.
Afterwards? But not during?
During, I asked her. You know, I really went into depth in the book about, you know,
about
conversation.
Okay. All right. Well, I was just wondering because, you know, those outside influences, sometimes we have to ask our parents out. We can go to them with ask them about our incident or whether they suggest about it, but the ultimate decision is ours to make, and if we don't feel like that, you know, that's the right decision, you know, we have to bow gracefully to our parents and say, well, Mom, I don't want to go with that decision that you're making, you know, or that suggestion that you're telling me, because that's the way we stand up and overcome, you know, the things that we don't think that are right, you know, according to what they think. You know, sometimes we have to have our own thought pattern, but we run it by them and say, okay, what you think about this? And then sometimes they give you the answer you want to hear, and sometimes they don't. You know,
right.
That's where I am with that. But I truly thank you for sharing with us, and without giving us the details about the book, that's so wonderful.
I gave you guys a lot.
You gave us a lot. Now let me ask you, where is your book sold? Been sold, and you do have a email address, right?
Yes, I have a website, and it's
okay.
Uh-huh.
Hold on.
It's www.authortorilynn.com, and that's AUTHORTORILYNN.
Okay.
When did the book come out?
Okay.
It came out February the 20th.
Okay.
It came out when? I'm sorry.
February 20th. Yes.
February 20th.
Yeah. So it's Tori.
I'm really excited about this book, Tori. It sounds so interesting, and now you've got me so excited. I want to go ahead and read this book. Because I have, well, somewhat a similar situation. I got married at 18 to a guy who I thought was a friend. He had been talking to me since I was 15. So I had, you know, I had a mother that was real strict. So when he came around again, I just went on and got with him. I thought it was a great idea. And he turned out to be verbally abusive, and then he was a cheater, And I didn't know anything that much about men at that time, and so I didn't realize until he started doing the things he was doing that it was wrong. And then I just got up and left. But even though I did that, it was still hard to walk away from a marriage, because I never thought that you should walk away from your marriage. But it seems like you can go through situations and your marriages where there's no way that you can help it. You know, there was nothing that I could do to make him. I didn't even know why he was cheating. He was just cheating. But I find that when women go through divorces, it's a real hard thing to do, and the impact on it, on you after the marriage, after the divorce, it really kind of, for some women, and I don't know, it did it for me for a while, it made me kind of really shy away from men because I didn't want to have that experience again. So it took me like till I was 36 before I got married again, because I really just didn't want to have to go through that same experience again. It wasn't a pleasant experience. Although we didn't have any children, but it was still wasn't a pleasant experience. So I'm very glad that you wrote this book on divorce so that women can have someone to, that somewhere that they can read, they can listen to when you come out and speak, and they can kind of get a little bit of help and they don't go into depression, because when you're going through a divorce, it feels like it's just you going through all of this.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah, it just feels like you, and it's just like the kids, you think nobody else has gone through it that way but you, and you really, when you start listening to the divorce, I thought for a moment you were talking about me when you were talking about things. I'm like, how did she know that?
Right. Right.
Well,
and that's what I'm ready to be transparent, because I know I'm not the first and I know I won't be the last. So okay.
No, but we want as few women to go through what you've gone through and what I've gone through. And so I'm very excited about reading this book. And I will make sure that you get the information about the flyer. I put it on Facebook, but I will make sure that you personally get it. I'd like for you to come to our conference. And in the future, we are going to do some small seminars for women. And so I do look forward to maybe you coming out and talking to some women about what it's like to go through that experience and then having to recover afterwards, especially women that are with children. And when the man just walks off and leaves, how do you recover from all that? Because that's a lot to recover from, especially when you're talking about you had two babies and your mom was sick, and then you come home and you've got to go through all of this by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's a heavy load, and I really do admire you for being able to recover from that and being a strong woman. You had to be a very strong woman to go through that and raise your two babies.
I want to make sure that other women know that they can recover too. And you know, sometimes it may be a little easier if you do have help, but if you don't, once you realize, okay, I got to really, really go ahead and call out to God now, because I need help, I need some backup, and that's, you know, they need to know that they cannot isolate, that they have to get into God and get a support group.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Well, the blessed part is that your children were babies, and so you didn't have to try and explain that, what was happening
right
to them. So that's a good thing in its own way. It was good that they were small.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about your
mom.
You and your mom go out speaking engagements?
I'm sorry?
You and your mom go out and speak to other women?
Oh, yeah, my mom's an author also. Her book is called The Black Woman's Attitude and the Men Who Wants to Love Us, and she goes into, it's a biography. Mine's an autobiography. Hers is a biography about different women's situations who's been hurt or abused or, you know, my mom was a teen mother at 13. She had her first baby at 13 years old. So she had a baby, got married, and then was back at her parents' house by the time she was 16 years old, back as their daughter again. So she talked about her situation
She talked about my situation, and she just goes and she's got permission from these different women, and she goes and talk about different women and talk about their situations and why we may have attitudes, but yet at the same time we can't use it as an excuse.
Oh my goodness!
Well, you know what, Tori? I would love to do a divorce show. And also have your mom on and have you on and another panel of women that have been divorced so our listening audience can call in and ask questions about, you know, the things that they are going through. Maybe you can help them out with their emotional feelings or with, you know, just coping with whatever they're going through during the divorce. I would love for us to do that, you know, in the near future, because I think this impacts a whole lot of women, and they don't know where to go, who to turn to, or what to do. You know, I really do think that, because that's what I think that's a purpose that God has given you in writing the book, also in your mom's writing the book. So I think it would be very beneficial for us to do a divorce show and have our divorced women call in that maybe have gone through or just going through or about to go through, you know, to talk about this, because it's an issue. It's a real issue, and it's a real woman thing, you know, and that's what we do. We bring about the issues for the women. We try to help them, give them resources, give them uplifting and comfort on the things that they're going through. So I think that would be real good if we would do that in the near future, if you don't mind.
Okay.
And if you don't mind getting your mom involved with coming on the show and talking to us also, and then that way we can get our audience together. We can send out the email blast that I usually do, and then we can just go from there, and then we can put more emphasis on your book, on your mom's book, and, you know, and if and we can tell people where you'll be located if they want to get in contact with you to come out and talk to their group, their church, their social, whatever they do, you know, because this is a needed thing for women.
Yes,
you know,
really.
I think it would be very beneficial, and I really have enjoyed talking to you about it tonight, and I think that we need to explore this a little bit more and get some more listeners and some more callers to call in and ask some more questions without you having to reveal everything in your book.
Okay.
We certainly don't want to do that because we want to sell the book. That's what we want to do. What is the cost of the book?
Well, right now, until October the 23rd, they're $10 in all the shirts, and the shirts are $10 because I have the shirts that says Virtuous Women Unite, and also we have Strong Men Unite shirts, and they have the scriptures on the shirts, and they're on my website also. And the reason the happening for those shirts coming out is I did an event in Oklahoma City, and it turned into being titled We Are One, because I end up speaking about oneness. Like, you know, as sisters, I spoke to a group of women, and I was just talked about it was enough time for the backbiting and the backstabbing and the gossip, and, you know, we need to become one, you know. And there was a Hispanic guy that was helping me move, and I asked him, I said, hey, look, how do y'all, you know, so many guys in one house, how do y'all make that work? And he said, the women are one. And it just blew my mind, because sometimes we're not really becoming one. You know, they can figure out how to do it. The Hispanics and the Asians, they all can figure out how to be one.
Ahead.
And the rest of us are like, you know, no, you can't live here. Why can't you? You know, and it's just like, whoa. If they can do it, we should be able to do it too.
Mm-hmm.
We're so separated, we can't help ourselves because we're so separated. We're all about self instead of oneness, as you said. So we really don't help each other because we're just trying to get their little piece of the pie.
Right. Everybody's trying to climb up, and then so we're going to step on the other person in the midst of it. And that's not, when they come up, when Asians come up, they all come up. When Hispanics come up, they all come up.
Right.
They all will fix up that one house. They all get a nice car. They all put some money aside. They all feed each other. And that's just the way they do it. The Asians do the same thing. They all get one building, and they'll all have about 10 little mani-pedis. You know, it's just like they work together. We are the only ones divided.
All the time. Yes, and that, you know, that's a pet peeve of mine, because if one of my sisters is advancing, or if she has something that I don't have, I'm not going to be envious of her. I want to help her. I want to make sure that she's lifted and know that she's worthy of what she's going through or getting or whatever. I'm going to compliment her. I'm not going to try to bring her down. I'm not going to be mad at her. I want her to be
as the Bible says the older women are supposed to teach the younger women.
Oh,
and when you say something condemning or condescending, and you're not, what are you doing to help?
Yeah,
you know,
right.
If
that's,
you're not saying it
thing.
In a loving way, then you are really doing more damage than you are help.
Right. Yes, right. And see, I never want to be negative to somebody who's coming up, or they have more than me, or they're doing something great with their life. Why am I going to be jealous? Why am I going to condemn them, or why am I going to say something negative to them to bring them down? That's not, you know, that's not right. That's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be our sister's keepers. It's not.
Right.
It's not, and that's the reason why we've developed My Sister, My Friend, because we want to be here for our sisters. We want to make sure that they have and do have the same rights and privileges that every other sister does. We want them to know that we love them, and we want to take care of them and help them do what they need to do to bring themselves up. You know, we are. It's not a put down. It's not a judgmental thing. It's not just because you doing this, I'm gonna talk about you, or just because you have this, you ain't. I'm not. You know, you not no better than me, and all this good stuff. We don't do that at My Sister, My Friend. We lift. We undergird. We love each other. So I appreciate the time that you have spent with us, and I'm praying that God will bless your efforts and bless your book and get it out there to the women that need this information. It is novel, right? It's not
an autobiography.
Right? It's autobiography.
Yes,
okay, very good.
It's my story.
Okay. So I would like for you to go ahead and give us your contact information one more time, your website, your email address. If someone is listening and they want to email you a question or something, can they do that?
Sure. I mean, everything, all of my contact information, I'm on your site now, Granny's Place, and while I'm saying this, I'm going to go ahead and post the link, which is AuthorTorilynn.com, and it's AuthorTorilynn.com. And that talks about the book. It talks about We Are One, the movement. And it has a couple of my YouTube videos on there, too. So you'll be able to see some of the clips and see who I'm about.
Tori, I do apologize about the website. It is in construction, and we're trying to get it finished before our conference. So I'll text you when it's completed. But I do want to highlight this. I will, if you come to our conference, if you're not there, we still want to talk about this book and let the women know that this book is available. Because when I got my first divorce, I didn't know anybody to talk to about it, how it was going to affect me, how to recover from it. And I'm sure that there are a lot of women out here that are going through divorce, going through a separation, and they don't have anyone to talk to, and they don't know how they're going to get through it.
And sometimes you don't want to talk because you're scared to be judged, you know, and that's the thing that I let the readers know, that I'm with you. I know sometimes we may or may not have made the right move, or we may have made a mistake. We may not, you know, some things are just, you know, Job did not do anything wrong. It was just part of the process so that we can have a guide. So that's just my thing. It's just to make sure that my sisters know that I'm not going to judge them. I want to let them know that I am here and I've been there and I've done that. And we just have to figure out a way to move forward.
Yeah, and we do make mistakes. Whether, you know, and like you said, you went into your marriage wanting to be married, hoping to stay married for years and years, and it didn't work. And sometimes it's not the woman's fault at all. It's the man's not ready to be married, or they both just get into it, and it's not what they thought it was. Because really, a lot of people look at what they see on TV, and they think that's a marriage, and it's really not. Marriage takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of trust. And there are going to be times when you don't like your husband and you don't want to see him, but then you get maybe with your friends and you get to talking out things, and then sometimes you get back home and you're glad to see that man because you're listening to what those other ladies are saying. You're like, ooh, let me go
right,
home.
Right.
Yeah. But I'm very excited about this.
I'll put the website on your on your Facebook page.
Okay.
And so the website is on there. I have a YouTube clip that's on there. And my author page is on there. And my website address is on there.
Wonderful.
Oh, okay.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. But right now we are down to our last 10 minutes of the show. And we usually do announcements. And then we pray and end the show. So what I would like to do is if you have any upcoming event story that you would like to announce to our listening audience, feel free to do that at this time.
Okay. I have there's a We Are One event that's coming up on it. The initial date is October the 24th. I just found out today that we may have to move the venue. So that is going to the flyer we put up hopefully by today's Monday. Hopefully by Wednesday we'll have everything confirmed. But there is an event called We Are One, and it's with men and women, and we're going to talk about oneness. We're going to talk about staying together with our relationships. And I will have a book signing the day up also.
Oh, okay, great. Let me know where it's going to be.
So that's on a Friday. Yeah. That's going to be on a Friday evening, right? So that's the 24th.
Yes, and I will send a flyer out. I will do a flyer and an e-vite out to send out. So like I said, I just found out today we might have to move the venue though. So but I will post it.
Okay.
Well,
oh, great.
Bless you. All right, my announcement is those of you who are listening and are free on Saturday, October the 11th, come to the Mighty Shady Grove Primitive Baptist Church at 4802 Burma Road, where we're having our annual women's brunch. We will have seven speakers talking about pieces of me, and that's and finding wholeness in Christ. That is our title of our brunch this year. And those that are available, please come by and share with us and fellowship with us. We'll have the speakers will be up first. We have seven speakers. And after the speakers, we will have brunch and fellowship with all you lovely ladies. Please come by and join us. It starts at 9 o'clock. The address is Shady Grove Primitive Baptist Church, 4802 Burma Road, Dallas, Texas, 75216. Come and join us. Beverly, you want to go ahead and tell about our women's conference coming up on October the 25th?
Yes, we're inviting all women to come to First Free Will Baptist Church at 1415 Wheatland Road in Duncanville. It's at Clark and Wheatland Road. My sister, my friend, we're having our first annual Women's Empowerment Conference, and we do have four women. Our topics are what is womanhood? What is femininity? What is a woman's purpose and destiny? And what is a woman's worth? We've got four wonderful speakers coming on, and we're going to have some nonprofits and some vendors come out into the networking session, and we will have some light refreshments, sandwiches, and different other things too, so we can eat and network and talk to each other about what's going on in our areas and with our community. And we're inviting all women out. It's from 12 to 4 at First Free Will Baptist Church at 1415 Wheatland Road, where the pastor, Richard Terry. And we are inviting all women. It's a free event. Some of the vendors may charge a fee for their products or services, but we're expecting a wonderful turnout. We hope that we get more than 250 women to come on out and talk with us and meet with us. And let's hold hands, let's cry together, let's pray together, and let's worship the Lord together. And we're going to find out what God's purpose is for women. We know that in society today, there are so many different definitions for women and what women are expected, but we want to know what God expects of us and how we together as sisters, as friends, can come together and help one another be all that we need to be and all that we want to be. And so we're coming out bringing information for women, and we will be doing some talk. Ashes to Beauty will be coming out bringing some information on breast cancer. October is Breast Cancer Month, so we want to encourage all the women to come out and come out and ask questions. Be inquisitive about how you can improve your life, how you can make changes in your life, and hopefully that some of the changes that you will make in your life will go off into your family life and will improve some areas of your life. And so we're excited about our first annual conference, and your host will be LaShondra Lewis, who's the host of My Sister, My Friend blog talk show. And we hope that other authors like Tori Lynn will come out and meet with us and talk to the women, because she's got a very outstanding book, The Divorce. And we know that there are a lot of women that need some information about how to go through divorce. So we
Amen.
Thank you, and we look forward to it.
Okay, and also, in addition to that, we will be having a nurse there who will be giving you helpful health hints and taking blood pressures for those who are wondering about their blood pressure or just need their blood pressure checked that day. And she'll have a two or three people with her on health issues if you just need to talk about your health. We do have another author that's one of our speakers that is there talking to young ladies. We'll have one-on-ones if you need to have a one-on-one with one of our speakers. If you just need to have a one-on-one with one of the vendors that are there or anybody that you think that might can help you or lead you or guide you or just have a shoulder for you, because that's what we're going to do that day. We just got to be talk to our sisters and love on our sisters and give them vital information and do kind things for them and then feed them also. So it should be a good time in the Lord and with our sisters. One other announcement I'm going to make before we close out is the Shady Grove Primitive Baptist Church Women of Distinction will have a retreat November the 7th, 8th, and 9th, I believe, at the Habazel Salvation Army Center in Midland. If you are free, come and join us that day. You can email me at LaShondraLewis@yahoo.com about the information about the retreat. I can send you a form out, and I believe that one is on my Facebook page somewhere. I might have to post it again, but that's the retreat that's coming up in November. So, ladies, we are down to our last 5 minutes. It is our usual custom, Tori, to pray out, but I wanted to tell you that if you are available that Saturday from 12 to 4, bring some of your books, or if you're going to make it possible, we can come and pick them up and set you up a table if you're not available, and just give you some Showtime advertisement about your book. If you're not available that day, we'll be more than happy to do that for you.
Okay, yeah, I would like to
get
some information. That would be great.
Okay, well, Beverly is going to send you the flyer.
I'm going to send you the flyer over there, and I'll tell you a little bit about the table so that if you're able to make it or able and you have the books, we'll just go ahead and make a table, and whatever sales are made, we'll give it to the church secretary, and she will send you a check for the amount of books that were sold. If you're not available to be there.
Okay. Tori, Would you pray us out, please? We have 30 seconds, I believe. You can go over, but okay, go ahead.
Okay. Father, it's in your Son, Jesus' name, that we come to you. Thank you for giving us this day of life. Thank you for this interview. Thank you for the lives that we may have touched. Thank you for that sister who is listening in that may be suffering in silence. Lord, thank you that you have let her hear that she is not in this alone. And thank you, Lord, you are wrapping your loving arms around her or him that might be going through this and suffering in silence, Lord. We know that you know all things, and you are everywhere. You're omnipresent. And we just thank you, Lord, that you are just giving us the spirit of love. And, Lord, that you just spread more love and not fear, but love. And we thank you and we praise you, and we just give you all the praise, glory, and honor, and that your name be lifted. In Jesus' name, we thank you and praise you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, ladies, for joining me tonight on Blog Talk Radio. My sister, my friend, have a good evening and the rest of the week. Praise God every day, whenever you can. We love you. Good night.
Thank you, Tori.
Thank you.
All right, Miss Tori. Be good now. We'll talk later about the upcoming show, okay?
All right.
All right.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.